Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is a time for theology. This is Wretched Radio. You're thinking, Friel, every time is a time for theology. No argument from me, but when we experience a national tragedy together, an event that is all-consuming, it impacts everybody in the country, Christians need theology. And we don't just need theology locked up in our noggins. We need to go tap into the bank of wisdom that God has given to us through his word, by his spirit, and apply it so that our hearts are not troubled, because these are troubling times. And these are sad times that people who went to a political rally ended up getting shot and died. And the former president dinged in the ear, which you gotta admit was extraordinary, that it was indeed millimeters. God ordained that day that man would live. This, by the way, Justin Peters said it rightly. God didn't intervene. God doesn't sit around kind of waiting for something big to break, and then he engages himself. No, he's orchestrating everything. And he determined that man's not going to die. Now, I want to look at that event and I want to thank God for goodness. I want to thank God for being in control. I want to thank God for being sovereign. But I probably don't want to go any further than that and applying what God ordained to making some sort of political prognostication. We've seen that, haven't we? Somebody, I've never heard of the fellow, but he apparently tweeted out that President Trump was shot at 6:11, and you know what Ephesians 6:11 says, don't you? Oh boy. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then apparently Charlie Kirk tweeted out, yeah, and read the next verse, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Sorry, gentlemen, those verses have nothing to do with what we all saw Saturday night. That is not how we read the Bible. I suspect this fellow, 6:11, and then he had to go looking. Oh, wait, there aren't six chapters in 1 Peter. How's it about? Yeah, that works. That's not how to read the Bible. We want to be careful we don't become shamans, that we don't somehow use an event and then try to explain exactly what God is saying about the November presidential election. Instead, I want to make sure that in these tragic moments, in these scary moments, I'm thinking very biblically, not glibly biblically. We've seen that. Perhaps we've all experienced that. Something devastating happens to you, and then somebody hears about your misfortune and says, well, God is sovereign. Yes, that is correct. That is the right way to view how God is orchestrating all things for his good, for our good and for his glory. How that gets done, not just in a heady kind of, well, here's the theology to slap on the situation. No, our theology should be slapped on to the situation, but it should also be massaged in. It should be rubbed in so that it gets in there and it actually does something for us. And if I could just take a little excursus from, well, I'm probably on an excursus anyway. This theology that helps us when scary things happen, it is best to have it fixed before the event befalls you. We should be not just learning theology, but thinking through theology so that when calamity strikes, and it is going to, that we're ready for it. It still impacts. It can still rattle. The event might still make you grieve, but you'll be more inclined to do it in the right Christian frame of mind than if you have the event happen and then you scramble to go learn the theology. And so for your consideration, I was going to give a number, but there's no guarantees here how many we'll get through. Boy, that happened to me about 2 weeks ago. I made a tragic mistake, Jimmy. I said that there were 10 lessons that 10 stuffs that we could learn from a particular Bible verse.
Uh-huh.
And I got through, this was preaching at church, got through, I think, 5 of them and looked at the clock and went, uh-oh, you're a little late. You're going to have to pick up the pace here, Friel. And I think I got to the other 5, but there were the people in the congregation that are the note takers. Mm. Hey, where's the other 5? I'm so sorry. I was having a battle against the clock. By the way, speaking of notes, Friel, are you taking an excursus from your excursus? Yes, I am. Note taking is good in church, but I would say this, not all the time. There are some times when it's just good to listen. You say, what are the rules? I say, I don't have any. There are just some times when it's good to just let the word wash over you and do its work. And then there's other times where it is indeed a good exercise to write things down. But I would say this, if you're a note taker and you don't do anything with those notes afterwards, maybe it helps you learn because you write it down, you hear it, you've got to articulate it yourself. And maybe that just helps you to memorize. Fair enough. But I would suggest if you're going to take notes, use them afterwards and let that reinforce what you heard, what you're about to hear. It's actually taken from, providentially, this last Sday's sermon at Alpharetta Bible Church. The text was Jesus in Matthew chapter 12 making some audacious statements. Matthew has been doing this all throughout his gospel, which is why you always need to be marking themes. Didn't he talk about something like that? For instance, we see a theme in Matthew of Jesus associating with the lowly. It starts in his genealogy, and that he came to die for sinners, and that he hung out with sinners and with prostitutes. Oh, gasp. Why does Matthew repeat that theme throughout Matthew? Because he wants you to know that there's a Savior who stoops. There's a Savior who isn't embarrassed to have you as a follower. That's a theme throughout Matthew. Can't miss that. And one of the great themes of Matthew is showing that Jesus is greater, that he is the one who's the best of the best, the creme de la creme. He's the one to whom kings will bow. All authorities, all rulers, all assassins, all political, all will bow to King Jesus. And in the text that we worked through on Sunday, it's Matthew 12, 38 through 50, Jesus, talking about Jonah, I'm not going to give you any signs, Pharisees. You're hard-hearted. You're self-righteous. And I'm not going to give you the signs that you tauntingly demand. The only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah, who was in the belly of the whale, the big fish, the sea monster for 3 days. Son of Man will be in the earth for 3 days. I'm better than him. I'm greater than him. And Jonah is esteemed. You and I tend to look at Jonah perhaps a little differently than Jewish people do, but his book is actually read in the Sunday or the Yom Kippur afternoon service. He's esteemed. It's a tale of repentance and forgiveness. And Jesus says, I'm greater. Just like he did with the Sabbath, just like he did with the temple. You know the temple, the centerpiece of your worship? Yeah, I'm greater. You know the Sabbath that you esteem so highly? That was a picture of me. It only gave you 1 day of physical rest. I give you 7 days a week, 24 hours a day of spiritual rest when you rest from your labors and you put your trust in me. I'm greater than the temple. I'm greater than the Sabbath. Matthew made it clear he's greater than Israel. He's greater than Moses. Jesus alluded to the fact that he's greater than King David when he was having the Sabbath conflict in Matthew chapter 12, I believe it's verse 8. And now he's telling these Jewish people who are hard-hearted Pharisees confronting him, they were like Edward G. Robinson. Yeah, give us a sign. See, we need a sign from you. They wanted a cosmic sign, as if raising people from the dead, making the blind see, the deaf hear. That wasn't enough. Give us a sign, see? Then maybe we'll believe you. It was a taunt. They weren't sincere. And Jesus said, you're not going to get one. And the people of Nineveh are going to testify against you. And then he brings up the Queen of Sheba, the Queen of the South, perhaps Ethiopia, Yemen, southwestern Arabia, heard about the wisdom of Solomon, heard about his fame, heard about what the palace was like, what the worship was like, and she came to see it for herself, and she was in awe. The NASB says she was breathless when she encountered the greatness of Solomon, and Jesus says, I'm greater. The question is, in what way is he greater? When we study that, we will have comfort, peace, joy, hope, and courage even after national tragedies. Next on Wretched Radio.
Breaking news, scientists have predicted a massive heat wave of savings at Wretched's global warming sale. See what I did there? Okay, that was kind of weird. Anyway, all this week through the 21st, prices are definitely falling in the Wretched store. Up to 60% off, free shipping on orders over $50, because we believe in actual measurable benefits. And this sale is so hot, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego started sweating. Okay, all right, I'll stop with the bad puns. And unlike certain climate models, our sale delivers as promised. Visit wretched.org/sale before these deals are gone. Stock up now on solid biblical wisdom. That's Wretched's global warming sale at wretched.org/sale, where the only thing rising faster than alleged sea levels will be your biblical knowledge. Okay, I promise that's the last one. Wretched.org/sale.
Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical, teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
All right, Christian, are you, like most of us, concerned about the direction our culture is headed? Yeah, well, listen up, because we are about to launch a brand new initiative within this ministry. We're bringing together 8 brilliant Christian thinkers to create content that tackles today's toughest issues head on. Think of it like a Christian version of the Daily Wire. These experts will be producing articles, podcasts, videos, and even homeschool curriculum. They'll cover everything from ethics and evangelism to science and Gen Z issues. It's all about equipping you to navigate our complex and ever-changing brave new world with biblical wisdom. But here's the thing. We need your support in order to make this happen. We're currently in the middle of a match campaign, a $250,000 match campaign, where every dollar you're able to give will be doubled. If you want to learn more about this initiative and the incredible minds behind it, just visit wretched.org/fellows right now. That's wretched.org/fellows.
Know your church fathers. Justin Martyr was a second century apologist who was converted after seeing the courage and devotion of Christian martyrs. He earned his surname when he was executed for his faith. When asked to renounce his faith, he responded, "No one in their right mind turns from true belief to false belief."
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't panic. Jesus is greater by a lot. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you know that the former president was almost killed on Saturday. And you and I can take great interest in political things. And I say, rock on. Watch as much Fox News as you can. Although I have to admit, when we heard about it, went to the Fox News, it was Sean Hannity. And I just found myself screaming at the TV, just ask the question. What's going on? What happened here? Tuned into CNN and MSNBC, and they were still scratching their heads. Well, it may not have been a bullet. And how's about the Secret Service? Hey, how's about talking about the issue? And that is, somebody decided to take out a presidential candidate. Who is this person? How did he get up on a roof? Why didn't somebody stop this guy? What about his past? Unbelievable how CNN and MSNBC just couldn't find the mark to save their lives. I say, watch as much of that as you'd like. It's fascinating. It's the national focus right now. But as a Christian, I don't want to leave my faith at the door of politics. In fact, I always want to run my politics and my political events through my faith. And in moments like this, you might be finding yourself experiencing a myriad of emotions. It might be anger. You're just agitated because the president of the United States goes on to lecture all Americans to tone it down, as if somehow the people that got shot were to blame for the shooter. And you might get really angry about that. Maybe you're concerned. Whoa, is this going to open up a floodgate? I heard some political commentators say that this could be the thing that just sets it off. This is the fuse that gets lit, and now all kinds of violence. I can't make those prognostications, but I do know that I can run to my Bible and think it through biblically so that my emotions are correct. Please note, it doesn't mean you can't have feelings when tragedy strikes. Of course we can. It's not human not to. When a loved one dies, the Bible doesn't say, don't grieve because you have hope. No, grieve, that's appropriate, with hope. And so it is we see the near assassination of the political candidate that I trust you're more inclined to vote for than the pro-abort. Well, actually, they both are, I'm afraid. One's less so than the other. But the candidate who is anti-religious liberty, who wants the government to pay for the mutilation of children, I just don't see how a Christian can vote for that. And perhaps you thought, oh, no, the guy that I was going to vote for, it was taken out, and you might be scared. Maybe you're a little bit anxious because the culture, let's be honest, we all feel it, don't we? Little topsy-turvy. How do I think it through? I would suggest to you, we remember theology, all of it, and we work hard to press it in. We preached from a text on Sunday that helped us to do just that. It's Matthew chapter 12, 38 through 50. Jesus is making audacious claims. I'm better than Jonah. I'm greater than Solomon. Earlier, he was clearly alluding, and I'm greater than David. Matthew 1 through 7, Matthew doesn't say it, but he implies very clearly Jesus is the better prophet than Moses. Moses was esteemed as the greatest prophet ever. And Matthew is saying the greater one is here. The one that was promised to be an even greater prophet will arise. Jesus is the greater prophet. He's the greatest in every regard. Moses escaped Pharaoh's decree that baby boys should die. Jesus escaped the king because he decreed that baby boys should die. God commissioned Moses to deliver his people from bondage. And that's what God said, the Father said to Jesus at his baptism. Listen to him. Moses delivered God's people from temporal, physical bondage. Jesus delivers people from spiritual and eternal bondage. Moses ascended Mount Sinai to be given the law. Jesus ascended a mountain to open the law and explain it rightly. Moses built a tabernacle. Jesus is the one who tabernacled among us. Moses interceded for the Israelites. Jesus intercedes even now for us. Moses mediating the Mosaic covenant between God and people. Ditto Jesus with the new covenant. He's better than Moses. And he's the one who's running the place. He's the one who did not have to turn on cable news to see what happened at 6:11 p.m. on Saturday night. He's the greatest. He's greater than David. How great was David? Well, let's see. David defeated Goliath by putting a stone in his head. If you've never seen that video, by the way, I think Ray Comfort just sent it to me. It's that guy. He's out in the middle of it. It looks like it's in Israel. And he slings the shot. That thing's like a bullet. If you've ever thought, well, that's kind of a fantastic tale. A tall guy gets hit with a rock and it kills him in the forehead. What? That good? You go watch how a slingshot can be used in a deadly manner. David put a stone into the head of the giant and killed him. Jesus is the head crusher who defeated Satan because he's better than David. He's the one that David was told, there's going to be one who sits on your throne forever and ever and ever. David unified Israel, captured Jerusalem, expanded the territory, returned the Ark of the Covenant, established a very strong monarchy. Oh, wrote a good deal of the Psalms. He was a man after God's own heart, despite his flaws. There was economic prosperity, administrative reforms, development of infrastructure, promotion of justice and law, cultural renaissance, and national identity increased. He was a great king. Jesus is greater. What about Solomon? When the Queen of Sheba came to visit him because she had heard about his wisdom, what did she see? She saw a palace that was, when the Queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon in the house that he had built, she saw the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their attire, his cupbearers and his burnt offerings, which he offered at the house of the Lord. She was breathless. She said to the king, "It's a true story that I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom, but I didn't believe the stories until I came and saw it with my own eyes, and behold, half of it was not reported to me. You've exceeded in wisdom and prosperity that report which I had heard." And Jesus says, "I'm greater." We don't need to panic with Jesus at the helm. He's greater. He's got this. Solomon was given wisdom by God. Jesus is the wisdom of God. There was peace under Solomon's reign. He had military might. He had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots, 12,000 horsemen. He was great. Population, numerous as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance. They were all eating, drinking, and rejoicing. Territory under Solomon, it grew. Economic prosperity, he was receiving tariffs. He had opened trade routes. He had people that were living in nations that were next to him. Some of them he had a little bit of control over. Others that weren't vassal states, they just gave him money. We don't want that king against us. Mining, resources, gold, copper, iron, architectural achievements. Well, let's see. He built a temple. That's a pretty big deal. He built two massive mansions, palaces for himself, fortresses, entire cities, religious influence with the temple in Jerusalem, writing wisdom literature. How's about 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs? This man was great, and Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater. at this time, this king, he was the King of Kings. And Jesus, out of his own mouth, says, I'm greater. Now, to the Pharisees that were in attendance, it should have called them to repentance. It should have humbled them. It should have silenced their mouth. It didn't, but it should have. And for those of us who believe, when we know that Jesus is greater, as Abraham Kuyper said, there's not a square inch in which the whole domain of our human existence, over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. That should bring us comfort. It should bring us peace. It should grant us calm. It should overcome our fears and even give us courage. And ultimately, it should cause us, even in times of distress, to worship the King who is the greatest. This is Wretched Radio.